what the scripture says about that. It says the Most High doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, but a body has thou prepared me. Jesus will be there in this temple because he's already come. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm going to do something different today. I'm going to sing you a song. Happy resurrection morning, everybody. I appreciate that a little bit more than Easter sometimes because people think we're going to go goof off and color some eggs and eat some candy when you say Easter. But we're here to represent the resurrection. And it's not just today. A Christian should have the resurrection happen to them every morning, every afternoon, every minute of the day. You should be in resurrection. I want to sing that song. I don't even remember what it's called. I don't remember what it's called, but I know how it goes. So if you know it, go ahead and sing with me. That's fine. We're here to worship the Lord. There's a light in the window, the table spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. I can see the crystal river. Face, and then the Lord come around and gave me that song, so I thought that was pretty good. Let's go to Job chapter 38. A couple passages to read, so have some patience with me this morning. Job's right there before Psalms. Job chapter 38, we're going to start at verse 1. Everybody gonna help me preach this morning?
Glory.
Amen. Well, I got a couple amens, but that's all right. You come help me preach. We'll have a good resurrection morning. Job chapter 38, starting at verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, and who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Were you shouting for joy that day?
Yes, it was.
Before we even got here, we were already shouting the victory. "Or who has shut up the sea with doors, when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the clouds as garments, as the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place?" Not its place, his place. We'll get this in a minute. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, down to verse 67. This passage is when Zacharias had John the Baptist. He was born, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and he gives this prophecy. And we're starting at verse 67. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Look, Jesus hadn't even died yet, but the promise was he's already done it, because in God's mind, he'd already died on the cross.
Amen.
And 69. "And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear." Didn't you appreciate that Wednesday night? Serving God without fear.
Amen.
"In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Mark chapter 16. I'm going the wrong way, sorry about that. Mark chapter 16 and just the first two verses there. Mark 16, starting at verse 1. "And when the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salmon had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun." What I want to preach today, the Lord willing, "and he shall be called the day spring." And he shall be called the day spring. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to gather and to worship in your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that wherever two or three would be gathered, Lord, you'd be here and with us and in the midst of us, Father. We pray that all the clouds of doubt, all the fear and all the unbelief and all the depression and all the things that this world seems to offer us so freely, we would just cast it aside in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and come into this place with an expectation to hear from you and to know that the Almighty God is on our side, that you love us, Lord, and that you've redeemed us from the sin and bondage that we were under when we were in the world. We thank you so much for loving us and taking care of us this day, that we were able to come in good health and good strength, Lord, when the world is falling apart, people going insane. Lord, we still have a sane mind. We're still walking in the things of God, and we appreciate for your grace that you've had on us to do so. Thank you for bringing everybody here this morning. I pray you bless each one. We just do this all in your name and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we read there in Job chapter 38, if you ever read the story of Job, Job was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. He was a man that God said, even in the old covenant, that he was perfect. Because God never looked at our works. He never cared about our works. He never cared about what you can muster up to him. He was looking at our faith. He was looking at what we were trying to accomplish for him in our hearts. So even when we failed, even when Job made mistakes, he said, I made the sacrifice. I went and I killed a lamb just in case my children had sinned. Because he was serving God with a perfect heart. And that's what God desires of us today. And Job had done that faithfully for his life. God was so pleased with Job that he was willing to put him to the test. And I wonder why sometimes we get surprised when we get put to the test a little bit. Maybe it's because God thinks you're worthy. Maybe he knows what he's placed in you and you're going to be able to pull it through. You're going to be able to overcome. Don't make me preach by myself this morning. As the Lord challenged his servant Job, he said, Satan came to him and said, the Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? This man, he's perfect. He excuses evil. He hates evil. He loves good. He said, yeah, the only reason, Satan responds, he said, the only reason he loves you is because you bless him so much. So let me take the blessings away and we'll see what he does. And God allows it. And Satan takes everything from him. And then he comes again and Job is still serving God faithfully, still giving him the praise. Amen. And how much do you think God smiled down on Job that day when he saw that he had lost his sheep, lost his oxen, lost his children, lost everything. And he still raised his hand and said, blessed be the name of God.
Amen.
I think he was proud of his son that day. And then Satan didn't even stop there. He came around again and said, but I'm skin for skin. A man will give it for his own life. He said, okay, just don't kill him. And he said he was covered in boils head to toe. We think we got a bad. God, why are you giving me this headache today? He's covered in boils head to toe. He was out on an ash heap scraping them off because you'd scrape them and put the ashes on it. That was the best way to deal with the pain and try to help that condition. Ain't none of us been there yet. We thank God for it. I tell you what, I would trust that he'd be able to test me like that, but I'm not going to ask for it. I don't think Job would have either. We might need trials, but I'm not going to sit there and ask, Lord, let me go through it like Job. No, that's okay. If I don't have to, I'll take it, Lord. But if I have to, I'm willing to take it. Amen. But we watched Job when he overcame and his three friends come to him and tried to convince him that he's a secret sinner. And he said, no, sir, I'm not. I've gave the proper sacrifice. I've done what God required of me. And after he got tired of listening to man, God sent his servant Elihu to tell him, you need to humble yourself a little bit. You're right, Job. You're right. You're right on the word. But you need to humble yourself to God. And then God got sick and tired of it. He said, I'm going to come talk to Job myself.
Sure.
And at this point, Job had pretty much lost all his joy. He didn't curse God like his wife wanted to. He didn't turn on God, but he lost his joy. He saw himself as righteous in his own eyes, and that God was being unfair because he shouldn't have been going through what he was going through. But as God came to Job and began to speak to Job, and he says, you think you're so smart? He says, who fashioned the worlds? How did it get this way? You tell me where it's at. Tell me how you build an earth. Tell me how you make it float on nothing. Go ahead, Job. I thought you had this figured out. And Job realized, I've spoken perversely. I've spoken a little too fast. Lord, forgive me. But what I want to emphasize there is the second the Lord came down and started talking, it became a new day to Job.
Amen.
What he was in, a dark valley where there was no God. There was no happiness. He had lost everything. He lost his children, lost his inheritance. The only thing he had was his bickering wife. That was it. But as the Lord began to speak, and that's when he said, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know his place? The day spring. What the word day spring means in both the passages we read in Job and Luke, it means the dawn of the morning, the daybreak, the dawning of a new day.
Amen.
A change was happening in Job's life. The second he heard the word of God, and that's what we're all looking for. He said, I want to be happy again. The only way you can is hearing the word of the Lord. But if you came here to hear Brother Andrew preach some good sermon, or if you came here because you felt bad because you're a CEO, Christmas and Easter only. I'm glad to look around. I've seen you all on other days, so we don't got any CEOs here this morning. But if you're here just to have a good time or to feel good about yourself, and you're not here to hear from God, you'll never live out of here in a new day. You'll come out the same way you were before or worse. Because we already know when you come to the house of God, you either leave better or you leave worse. It depends if you received it as the word of the Lord or if you don't and you think it's just a man or if you think it's just some good thoughts or some good theology. But if you can get a revelation that God ordained it this way and this is how he speaks to us, you'll get something out of the service and you'll walk out in a day spring.
Amen.
Because who is our day spring? It's Christ. Christ was the day spring that came down on high. He was the one that ushered in a new day. Because before that, even Job, yeah, we thank God for his testimony, but he still went to the grave. He saw the Redeemer, but he didn't get to experience it yet. He couldn't receive the Holy Ghost. How much more should we be in joy that God has done these things?
Sure, amen.
He is the day spring. Yes, yes. He has put in the new day.
Amen.
God's servant Job, 55. And when they foresaw these things through the bleeding sacrifice of the animals that they were slaying, as a go-between or a covering for their sins in that shadow, they foresaw the coming of the Lord Jesus. And it was that day until finally at last the day spring from on high sprang forth. And those who sat in the regions of the shadows of death saw a great light. When God himself was made manifest here on the earth to take away sins, then they seen full redemption through God himself till the day spring from on high.
Amen.
Come forth.
Yes, Lord.
So as the world began to spin, because we go all the way back to Adam, when Adam decided to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it started the world in a certain chaotic day of sin, where death reigned. Where it was hard. He lived in fear before God. They had to give their sacrifices because they didn't want to be cast out like they watched Cain have to walk away from the presence of the Lord. And Adam, since he was the ruler of the earth, ushered in by his authority because he was given Godship. And when he sold it out, he sold the entire world into a day of chaos.
Yes.
And we can sit there and doom and gloom about that. We look at our day and we think, could it get any worse? You better hope you get in the rapture. Because if you're here for the tribulation period, it will get worse. And you'll go into a mind, you go, how can this even be real? What do you think the souls in hell feel like? You can't accept it as reality. It's so terrible you couldn't fathom words to explain what it means to be in the regions of the lost. Because not only, let's just say you weren't even being tortured, let's just say you were in a dark room and you had no idea where you were and there was no hope of getting out. And then add on top of that being tortured and not hearing people scream for their lives because they can't die, they're already dead. We wonder why we needed a day spring. Because that's where the world was headed. All the way until Christ came. We watched the prophets raise up. And we thank God because they spoke the word of the Lord and said he's coming. But they all went to the grave. They all lived in fear of what would happen when they died. Because there was nobody to go over there and come back and say, this is what it's like.
Amen.
There was nobody to know what happens after we die. And see, if we do it in our own carnal mind, we'll say the same thing. Well, I don't really know if this is exactly true. Well, then you ain't got faith yet, because Christ already went over there. He already went down into the grave, and he stood back up and sprang forth a new day.
Amen.
So as the world fell into Adam, and then it was brought back, when Christ came, he was the day spring. And I just thank God for even the revelation of that, that he has started a new day. That we don't have to live in the sin of bondage that we were before. As we read in Galatians 4, as we studied in the midweek here, I'll just read it to you, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And remember, adoption ain't like what we say. You with me this morning? Does everybody understand? I feel like I'm pulling a little bit. Is that all right? We can overcome today. It's the new living day. Oh, it's cloudy outside. I can't feel good. Well, where's the sun at?
Amen.
Not S-U-N. Where's the S-O-N at? If he's in your heart, the day spring ain't waiting on here. Out here, it's from the inside. And it gives you joy, gives you peace, gives you happiness.
Amen.
God's servant Job 50. But when he was in the form of the Spirit, he could not do it because he was spirit and man was human. Do you see the chasm? When God was still on the throne as the Spirit God and he watched his creation fall, there was nothing he could do as a kinsman. Because that was his law. God had already wrote it. A kinsman must redeem. And if I don't come down, there's nobody worthy. But praise God in the Spirit, as I continue to read here. And the Spirit was made flesh and dwelt among us to become kinsfolks to us in order to redeem us. You see it? That's the spread excuse me here, when God stripping himself, coming out of the ivory palaces to take upon himself the form of sinful flesh, to think about it, if we'd ever get a revelation, I tell you what, of what God really did to become flesh. He sat on a nice ivory throne up in heaven. There ain't no sin, there ain't no sadness, there ain't no fear. There's perfect joy all the time. And he loved us so much, he was willing to say, I will forsake this to come down to that place of hell that they're in right now. I'm willing to come down.
Yes.
And not even just to come down to be one of us. He became the worst of us. He became a man that was born, they thought he was illegitimate. They thought he was a bastard son.
That's right.
They thought his family was so low down and poor, they didn't even give him the time of day.
Right.
That's how he came.
Amen.
Jehovah himself made kinfolks to a beggar. Think of that. God himself became to where he could sit with a beggar and everybody look at him and go, they're just as worse off. And he's the Lord of glory. He made the beggar.
Right.
And he's sitting with him. The foxes have dens and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man don't have a place to lay his head. Born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths, yet the very Prince of glory, the day spring from on high, humiliating, bringing himself down, condescending, coming down to be made kinfolk with a sinner. And we were afraid to go shake a sinner's hand and try to maybe show him a little love. Maybe that Christ is alive and that the day spring has sprung up in me.
Amen, amen.
Too many of us walk as Christians defeated.
Uh-huh.
Why are you defeated? Did Christ die on the cross or not? Did he redeem us or not?
Uh-huh.
I got one, amen. I got a little two. We need to believe it, that we've been redeemed.
Amen.
That we're not walking in sinful flesh no more. This has been washed by the water of the word. That God came down and he changed me from what I was as a sinner because he became me that I might become him. And so if he came down and he's the day spring, he's the one who brought the new day, he's the one that all the prophets pointed at and said, you wait, you thought this word was good, wait until the Son of Man comes. He's the Redeemer. He's the one who brings us out of this bondage to where we don't have to live under fear no more, as all the prophets talked about him. And we're here we are, 2,000 years later, and can't seem to find the victory. Can't seem to enter in into what God has done for us already. And why is that? Not because he's veiled in flesh no more, because he ain't here. He ain't here in his flesh. That flesh is on the right hand of the Father until he comes in the resurrection. But he's here in the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost. And why can't people see him? Traditions. This is just church. This is just some little service. This don't mean nothing. They can't see God because they're not spiritually minded.
Right.
The carnal mind will always tell you there ain't nothing to this. There ain't nothing to find healing. It was just some makeup. It's coincidence they got healed that service.
Uh-huh.
It's coincidence they got joy. Oh, they say they got the Holy Ghost, but you know, the man will come around and say, I don't see nothing different with that man. He looks the same to me. He ain't no taller, he ain't no skinnier, he ain't better looking. What do you mean you've been born again?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:21, and we know this, at least I've read it before. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
So he took our place. He took the chaotic day that we were. And when he went to the cross, he took that hate, that chaos, that fear, and he nailed it to the cross and died and paid the payment so that that day could die, that day could cease, and we could spring forth a new day. A new day just like it was in Adam. When we look at when the worlds were formed and God came down and he made the stars, he made the sun, he made the animals, he made the plants, he made everything. And it was all for one purpose, his own children.
That's right.
He was forming a house for them to come down and live in.
Uh-huh.
Because even their body was part of that earth.
Amen.
So when he created the earth, he was creating their own bodies, their tabernacles they dwell in. And when God said, let there be light, he turned around and the light came forth and pushed out the darkness. If we get a revelation of what the light does, we wouldn't have to walk around darkness no more. Because the light pushes out darkness. You get all the darkness you want, push it on light, tell me what happens. You can put one little candle right here, and it'll push darkness out of the way. You can't get enough darkness to push light down. But it takes a little bit of light. Just trust that you gotta have faith that there's a little bit of light in me. And even though there's gross darkness upon the people, this light can push it out to where Sodom don't get in me. It might come right up to my doorstep, but I got power, I got light to push that darkness out. Don't affect my household. Because if you let Satan creep in, you let him, what's that song go? I'm not going to let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine.
Amen.
You all know that song. You sang it to me a few times. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We got to let it shine. Did you catch that? Let it shine. Walk around with a little joy in your face. You go, but I don't feel good. Who cares?
Amen.
Let the light shine. What do you think the Son of Man felt like? We think Job had it hard. What about Jesus Christ himself? He went through worse than anything we've ever gone through. But any man, we don't really understand the full capacity of what he had to go through his entire lifetime.
Right.
His life was filled with suffering.
Amen.
Now, everybody says, well, I'm going to be like Jesus, so our lives must be filled with suffering. That ain't the point. No. He was our Father. He was our Redeemer. He came to take on that suffering so we wouldn't have to.
Amen.
Isn't that what you fathers do? You go to work, you slave. Well, you know what I mean. You go try to make a living. What are you doing that for? So you can walk around with muscles and say, look at me, I'm a tough guy. No, you want your family to not have to go out there and do that. I mean, what would Brother Tom would feel like if Sadie had to go out there in the factory and help him out?
Uh-huh.
He wouldn't want nothing like that. And why do we think God would do that to us?
Sure.
Oh, he went through all this suffering. I got to be like Jesus. And he did say, bear your cross, but I tell you what, your car ain't as heavy as his was.
Nope.
You don't have the sins of the whole world to deal with. We just got ours.
Amen. Glory.
And that's still tough sometimes. We barely handle that way. Remember the old, I think it was a dream or something, there was a man that saw Jesus. He was holding almost like Santa Claus, big bag full. And they were watching him walk, and he's struggling along as he goes. The man comes up to him and says, Jesus, is that the sins of the whole world? He said, no, that's your sin. And we think we got it bad. He did that for every sinner that ever gave him, ever came. Even serpent seed.
Amen.
He even died for Cain. That Cain could be saved, but he knew he'd reject it. So it doesn't, I mean, in God's foreknowledge, see, we've read that scripture before where it says that his blood was shed not only for us, but for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
So he took upon himself more than he even had to.
Right.
Because that's how much he loved us. That's how much he wanted us to be a part of eternity, a part of the new day, the day that never ends, the day that never started.
Amen.
It's eternal. And we can ever get into a mindset of what that's like. You ever had a really awesome day? And you're like, man, I hope this day never ends. I'm just feeling good. Everybody's happy. We're having a good time. But what happens down here on earth? Oh, 8 o'clock rolls around. Gotta go home. Get ready for work in the morning. And the day ends. But not that eternal day. There ain't no time. There ain't no clock up in heaven. It's gone. We don't need it no more. It's one day. With happiness more than we could ever imagine. Because the Bible already says that. Beyond even our own imagination of how glorious it's going to be over
yes,
there.
Lord.
But down here, when we are stuck in this chaotic world, because we look at when he did set the world into order, he set everything apart just for his children down here on earth, and the sun shined forth. What did God say? It's good. This is very good.
Amen.
When man was created. But I tell you what, it was nothing like Easter morning. Because, yeah, the natural sunlight came to give life unto the seeds that were on the earth. It made the trees spring forth, It made the birds be able to sing in the morning when the sun came out. It let Adam feel the rays on his skin so he could feel good. And we wonder why the world's going depressed. We got so many people that sit in the computer on the inside and just do this. That light off, that ain't going to feel you like it will to get outside a little bit and feel that fresh air. Because that's the way God made us.
Right.
See, when we try to conform what we are to the world, it doesn't match up. Because God didn't make us to thirst after the world. He made us to thirst after him.
Amen.
And when we try to fill that thirst with other things, it'll never match up. You'll just make yourself more miserable all the time.
Amen.
I've been there, church. I've done it yesterday, all right? Don't let me kid you. If you feed on anything outside of the word, and I ain't talking about just, you know, being human, you know, we can go throw a ball around or hit some golf clubs or something. I'm talking about that. I mean, when you're feeding on something and you spend hours on it and you're trying to get the satisfaction out of it, it'll never happen. It never does. How many have done that before? I know I have. But there's one thing about the word that it don't even take much. It can be two words. Fear not. And you can take that and just feed off of it all day because God's word is eternal. Coming out of God's servant Job again. And when Israel had sinned, and man had sinned and got away from God, Christ went, come here as the bleeding sacrifice, that every lamb from the foundation of the world represented in the shadow. And when the day spring come from on high into existence, the great Jehovah in flesh went without out the city gates out there and was lifted up between the heavens and the earth, that his bleeding body showed that in there he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. Yes, the chastisement of my peace, our peace, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We talk about the day spring. We talk about this new day. And what should the Christian, what kind of day should he be living in? You watch the children of Israel again. I like when I just heard Brother Bram demonstrating it a little bit. He said, what kind of medicine do you think they had in the camp in those days? Do you know what Moses had? Person come up and say, I got a headache. What can you get, Moses? He said, I'm going to check out my bag here. This new day that I'm talking about, this word that we're feeding off of. Let me go feed and see what I got here. I got, I'm the Lord that heals all thy diseases. Walk out and be well.
Hey, it worked.
That was pretty good.
Amen.
And then somebody else came in and said, hey, Moses, I got a backache. What can you do for me? And he's like, well, let me check in my medicine cabinet again. Opens it up and goes, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Walk out and be well. And they walked out well. And we thank God for modern medicine, but it'll never substitute the word of God. Man was made to live off the word.
Amen.
So even in this sinful condition that we are in, even in this bondage of this chaotic day of Laodicea, there's a day spring take place inside of us that we can feed off of, that overrides the laws of this world and brings us into the laws of the world to come.
Yes, it does.
We must receive this day spring, because if not, you're going to head into a world of misery. And it's so fast, you can do it in a blink because of unbelief. God hates unbelief.
Yes, he does.
When you doubt his word, when you doubt your part in the word.
Amen.
And if we don't receive this, not by some, well, I really felt the spirit today, I guess God showed up. No, God's here every time.
Amen.
He is. Whether you're a benefactor of it, it's your fault. Because did you come with expectations? You come prayed up?
Amen.
Like you knew? It's different if you're a sinner off the street and you don't know no better. But us as Christians, born again of the Spirit of God, we know what we're supposed to be doing.
Sure.
We know exactly when we'll get blessed and when we won't. But that don't mean, if you ask for forgiveness, even for doing those things wrong, I believe God will still come here.
Amen.
Because he's already here.
Amen.
But you'll be able to see him now.
Right.
How many times? Brother Bram, the pillar of fire was there the whole time. There'd be times where he'd see it and land on somebody. He said, look, you're this, this, and this, and you're going to walk out of here well. That's a pretty good day, spring.
Yeah,
I like that day. I'm sure that person appreciated that.
Yeah, that was good.
I just listened this morning. I can't tell you what service it, or sermon it was, because I have this this app on my iPad that just plays, it'll play something like you're on the radio. And Brother Brandon was going through the line, and he even said it. He's like, I wish I would have kept this discernment to myself, because everybody thinks you need discernment to get healed. They think, well, he didn't discern me, I must not get well. He's like, that don't have nothing to do with it. It's your faith. So the discernment is so that your faith will get high enough that you'll get healed and walk out of here well.
Amen.
And that's why he would even say most of the time, he says, if I tell you who you are, will that help you? Showing that they didn't need him to tell them who they were. But if you ain't got faith right now, you want me to help you out a little bit? Your name's Tom Sproles. You see what I'm saying? And we think it's surprising that a man would know that. Do you think God knows your name?
Sure.
Of course he does. And if he whispers a couple words into a prophet's ear, what's the big surprise?
Amen.
God already knew it. What's the difference? Your faith believed it now.
Amen.
That God is standing right here. Because I know that that natural man can't know me. Because we're strangers. And that's why the prophet did that. So people would believe what he was telling them.
Amen.
Could you imagine what it would feel like to be in service after service and watch the pillar of fire go right there and say that person, and then they doubt it. And God, well, God, tell me their name then, because they're doubting me. They should have felt the presence there enough to not doubt it anyways.
Right, amen.
How much more us? How much more us? It's purely by faith. Listen to this closely, please. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, listen, lest any man fail of the grace of God. How do you fail the grace of God? You doubt it. You tried to work for it. You tried to earn it. You tried to pay for the grace of God. If you have to do one thing to merit your salvation, Christ died in vain. What he did on Easter meant nothing. It doesn't mean anything, because you've earned it now. You could have went to the cross and overcome for the sins of the world. And none of us are foolish enough to do that, but that little thought, that little seed looks so insignificant that I should get blessed today because I did this.
Right.
No. You should get blessed today because your face is hot. Amen. And say, God, you promised to be here. You said whatever I'd ask, you'd give it. Amen. So I don't have joy right now. I want some joy. Lord, give me joy by your name, in Jesus Christ's name. I believe it. You'll walk out of here a new man. Amen. A new day will spring forth. Because a day spring is always, it's always revolving. I can't say this right. Just like eternity is a circle. It's no starting, no stopping. It's just always moving. And that's why if you're walking with God, and you stop anywhere, you've left it.
Amen.
Because he's not going to stop. Right. He just keeps moving. And I love God because he don't run, but he don't stand there. It's just a nice pace. Sorry, Brother Cat, just spit on you. I saw it. He's probably, you see, probably spit on him all the time. You don't ever say that. We will walk with the Lord. And that's what Job did. You read the Bible. It doesn't say he ran with God. He had much zeal for God. He did so many good things. It said he was perfect and upright in his heart. And he walked with God. And that's all God made us for. We're not here to... We're always looking for these big things. Like God had this big... You know, we're going to get some spiritual galactic guns. And we're going to go blow up devils and do all... Look, he wants fellowship with us.
Amen.
What satisfaction do you get more than spending time with people?
Right.
And being friends and buddies and hanging out? You go talk to a box all day, the old TV. What did Brother Noel call that? The idiot box. Go sit there and watch that. That ain't no fellowship. You're just trying to satisfy the flesh. It don't ever satisfy either. What satisfies us spending real fellowship with together, which is always in the things of God.
Amen.
That's what real fellowship is.
Amen.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Now watch what will happen. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Because if you start living in unbelief, you're going to start pointing fingers at others. Because you're going to go, well, I ain't happy. It's because brother so-and-so did this at church today. No, it's your fault. You should have had faith. You should have had love one for another, as the Bible says. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. So don't ever let that come in. Watch this. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know that how afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing. Look, we know Esau. God already pronounced it. Esau have I hated. He says that in the Word, and Paul even quotes it later. But look what Paul says here in Hebrews 12:17 again. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, God still would have blessed him if he just would have believed and acted upon what God had said. He was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So how did Esau fail the grace of God? Because when he was presented with the birthright, it was given to him unmerited. Your birthright is yours. The blessing is yours. But he saw something in the world. He says, who cares about this old birthright? Who cares about this old Jesus story, this Calvary? Whatever. I want some money. So I'm going to sell out. I'm going to make sure that I always work so that I never have to go to church because I want that new car. Let's bring it down to our day. Is that right? Because that's what Esau did. He wanted one nice meal. Hey, people do it too. They'll skip church to go eat fancy, smancy, whatever restaurant that they got to drive 2 hours to get there. Can't drive 5 minutes to get to church. Why? Because they're carnally minded, just like Esau was. What does this birthright do me? What good does it do to be a son of God? What good does it do to serve him and to be in his grace? Well, you just haven't been raised up high enough yet. Because look what happened to Jacob when he did get the blessing. Esau was rejected. He found no place for repentance. Which means he was trying to actually muster up that he was sorry for what he did. And he just couldn't find it. He just kept saying, God, I should have done what I did. And God said, no, you should have repented. He said, no, I should have took that. You know, it's his fault. It's Jacob's fault. God said, that don't matter to me. I don't care about your root of bitterness. If you just come ask for forgiveness, I'll forgive you and give you what blessing I do have left. We will look at Jacob too. And I'm sorry to go on so many tangents. I'll bring this back here in a minute. This must be for something. Jacob, even his name means a thief, supplanter, deceiver. But he never failed the grace of God. He never went to God with his works. He went to God saying, the God that's brought me out of all trouble and all distress. I will bless his name anyways.
Amen.
I needed a name change, and he came and did it for me. He had received that day spring. He received a new day. Because Jacob, he did walk like that for so long a time. He walked as a deceiver. He walked in the world just like we did. We walked in the world, but one day he met God face to face in the form of flesh. And he met God with him. You have to recognize, did you meet God or not?
Amen.
Did you wrestle it out with him and say, God, I'm here to die, to repent of all my sins and be changed.
Amen.
And as God was ready to say, all right, that's enough, boy, quit doing that, Jacob said, no, sir, not until I know I've been changed. I need a name change. And he held on.
Amen.
And he held on. How many times do we let go of the promise of God right before we get it?
Sure.
We're right there, ready to have the joy of the Lord. And we go, hey, I'll go watch the youth. I'll go think of this thing. And right there, you're just about to grab it. And the Lord lets that thing come. Remember the one time he came back and he said, it looked like he was going to go on. They asked him to come to dinner and it looked like he was going to walk on. What was he waiting on? For them to invite him. He goes where he's invited. He's just waiting on the invitation. The second they said, but Lord, come stay. He said, okay, I will. That's all I wanted to hear. Because the Lord has feelings too. He wants to feel good. He wants to know that you love him.
Sure.
Amen. And he stayed there and he held on. And he even asked the Lord, what's your name? He said, it's a secret. You can't know that. But I'll tell you one thing. Your name was Jacob. I'm changing it to Israel. Which means a prince with God.
Amen.
And we know we've already went through that. What's the bride's name? It's Jesus Christ. And God, when we wrestled it out there at the altar, or maybe at your house, or wherever it was, you wrestled it out with the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm tired of this old day. I'm tired of living in sin and bondage. I'm tired of living in condemnation. And we sat there and we wrestled it out with him. Did you hold on long enough for the day spring to come?
Amen.
And even though you're in tears of repentance, though you're breaking down and falling apart, feel like everything's shattering off, some on the inside springs up, though, it's the new life. And there's a hidden joy within it all, saying, I've made it all right. Why? Because I accepted the grace of God.
Amen.
I accepted the light into my heart. And the only thing that light can do is just push out the darkness that was in me.
Glory.
And as we move from glory to glory, as this day spring doesn't just start, it continues to push out. It continues to grow. We should look more and more like him all the time. Not fail in the grace of God, but walking in perfect faith just as Christ did.
Amen.
The great shining light. Oh, I love these titles. 57. May not one of them, Lord, fail to have faith. We know that word says it. We know that we believe it. Now, Lord, may they believe it and receive what they've asked for. We go for now as ambassadors of Christ with this whole church body of praying and one accord for their healing. May it be so. And when they leave, watch this. May they go with exceeding great joy.
Amen.
Because the day spring has come upon us. See, it's good to know that the day spring came 2,000 years ago and established a new day of grace and mercy. But that day spring's got to get in us.
Amen.
And to realize that every day it's new. His mercies are new every morning. Excuse me. The floodlights of heaven has turned our way, and we see the resurrected Lord Jesus in his power and glory. Amen.
Yes.
As she, being anointed in the name of the Lord Jesus, we lay hands upon her and ask that her sickness be cured by the hand of the Almighty God.
Glory to Jesus.
In Jesus' name, amen. Show us the Father. 50. And your spirit is here tonight manifesting. Father, help me as I speak the word. May the word now go forth with power and bring forth results. That'll start this audience, everyone, the cripples to walk. Do you still believe that's true?
I know it is, amen.
That cripples can walk. I just heard Brother Bram talk about it this morning. He was giving people who lived the discernment line trying to increase their faith. He looked down and said, you man in the wheelchair, you believe what's going on right here? He says, God already told me you believe it. Now get up out of that chair. God's already healed you. So look, there's something you got to do. Believe.
Amen.
And then act upon it. Because that's the only way you really know if you believe it or not.
Right.
You know, you say, well, God, I got a headache. I can't do nothing. I'm just going to lay here. Well, then you don't, you know, heal me, God, but don't do nothing. Go on like you ain't got nothing. It'll go away.
Amen.
The devil can't stand faith.
Amen.
The second faith starts moving, he gets pushed back. But the second you start, well, maybe I still got it. Maybe I'm still a sinner. Maybe I'm still lost. He'll come right back and just start pushing you around again.
Sure will.
But if you get that man of faith to step up and push it back, He'll never take over you.
No way.
Just like that man, and you can listen to the tape. I wish I knew what it was. But he got up out of there. And I tell you what, yeah, we would have done the same thing. Woo! Glory to God! Start running the aisles, feeling good. We've seen it before, though. Don't let me kid you. This is still the same word. He's the same God right now.
Yes, he is.
Just because the prophet ain't here doesn't mean that God decreased in some way.
Nope.
That's the whole point of the prophet. The prophet was bringing to restore us back to the faith of these fathers.
Right.
And you watch the apostles. They didn't worry about sickness when it showed up. It says that the apostles healed them, everyone.
Uh-huh.
Everyone. Didn't matter. They didn't go into their life and say, well, now you can get healed, but, oh, man, you're doing this. They didn't worry about that. Especially with the sinners off the street. We spent less time trying to make them Christians before they're converted and get them converted first.
Amen.
They become Christians.
Right.
We need to shine light. Say, you need help, brother. You call a brother anyways. They might not be converted. Who cares? Jesus called Judas' friend all the way at the cross. Shining the light for him.
Amen.
These signs fall in that belief.
Yes, they do.
Coming out to show us the Father again here. The cripples to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. May they leave here rejoicing, happy, shouting, glorifying you, and may tomorrow be a new day. A dawn that when blind eyes sees and the deaf hear, lame walk, cancers are gone away, weariness of flesh, faith is in.
Amen.
Weariness of flesh, out the door, faith has took a residence. Jesus rules and reigns, all doubt is gone. Great, Father, skipping down here a little bit. And I believe God's going to give us a breakthrough tonight. I believe he's going to give us a breakthrough this morning. We had a nice breakthrough this Wednesday night. If you weren't here, you missed out. And I ain't saying that to condemn you. I'm just telling the truth. We had a great time in the Spirit Wednesday night. And I do believe it's a breakthrough of a new day. That doesn't stop in one service. It's the life that's within us that's coming to maturity.
Amen.
That's what makes the services good.
Amen.
Not because, oh, well, you know, we all finally let the Holy Ghost rain down. He's waiting for the Holy Ghost to come into you and you spring forth.
Amen.
Give it life. Because that rain can fall all day. If there's no seed there, if there's nothing to grow, nothing will happen.
Right.
You might have a good showering time, but you'll walk out of here the same loneliness, the same no joy, no happiness. You'll walk out just the same, condemned as a sinner. But if one time you can realize that God is quickening the life from within you.
Amen.
And that these results are coming because you are a part of him. Amen. You'll walk out of here with joy. It'll take all the fear out of it because you recognize the only way that could happen is your name is on the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
If you can recognize that I am saved, I can't be lost. I'm part of the new day, whether I want to be or not, because that's what I am. I didn't ask Dad to be his son. I am his son.
Right.
That's the way it happened. And I didn't ask to be a child of God. I was.
Amen.
As we said about faith too, faith ain't something you manufacture, ain't something you build up, it's something you have.
Amen.
A substance that you hold. You say, God, well, I just can't seem to find this faith. Don't ever say that. Say, God, I got good faith.
Amen.
I'm feeling great.
Yes, I am.
Prophet did the same thing. We think we're lying to ourselves or something. Prophet did it when he was a young man.
Yes, he was.
And he had this stomach disease. They said it was going to kill him. Again, anybody been through something like that? I haven't yet. I mean, something that was going to kill me. Maybe it have. And I thank God that we take the same approach. As we come up to him and say, no, devil, that was pretty good. Thank you, Mr. Doctor. I'll take that, but you can have it back. I'm going to take what the Word said. I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. And I'm sitting here with the same medicine cabinet, except we got the upgraded version. I got a word to help your physical sickness, but I got a word to take the sin out of your heart.
Amen.
Moses didn't have that 3,500 years ago. They just could get, you're going to have to give your lamb again because you're a sinner. You're going to have to live under that condemnation. Not no more. We got a medicine cabinet. I'm the Lord. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that live in Christ Jesus. Because you're part of the new day. Oh my. And that's why God sent us this message. It wasn't just to have some better theology, to be able to think of and look at the Bible and read Genesis and go, oh, I didn't know they didn't eat from a tree. I didn't know that's what it was all about. Not to be able to look at this as, oh, I understand these types. Oh, that book of Revelations, it makes sense now. No, that's good. That's good. That's good. But that wasn't the point. The point is, if you don't see serpent seed, and I hate to say this to those that might not believe it, but if you don't see serpent seed, this whole Bible doesn't make sense. None of it. It's just a crazy story with a weird outcome. Okay, so we ate an apple. We're all sinners going to hell. And God comes down and dies a cruel, malicious death because we ate the wrong diet. So why doesn't he condemn us now when we eat the wrong diet?
Right.
We eat off that tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know what we do. There ain't no such thing as Pepsi in New Jerusalem. All right? That's for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That stuff killed us. But it sure tastes good, don't it? Did I say Pepsi? I meant Coke. God have mercy. That's the way sin is a lot of times. Actually, all the time. Satan don't ever just... Oh, here's some arsenic. Take it down, buddy. Here's some just outright sin. No, he's gonna put some on there just to get it smoothed in so you'll swallow it down and then we wonder why we're sick. Even, I just naturally, I'm talking spiritually sick and everything else. Look at your diet. I ain't talking about your natural diet now. You know, I think you might even thought today, and I'm just saying this because I just feel good this morning. You say, Brother Andrew, you get a new suit?
Yes.
No, I didn't actually. How long ago I had that suit? 3-4 years ago? I finally lost enough weight to put it back on. I thank God for that. Because it does feel good, you know? The Bible does say bodily exercise is profit a little bit. That ain't what we're here to preach this morning. God has a sense of humor too, one time. You go tell Herod that fox. So as we look at this, I'm just trying to come somewhere. We lived in a dark age, even in this time, where God, Christ had already come. He rose Easter morning, and the angels proclaimed, this is it, this is salvation. And God came down and proved it on the day of Pentecost and filled 120 souls with the Holy Ghost. They went forth preaching in power and demonstration of God. The signs that followed Jesus followed them, and even greater signs followed them. I can't think of a time that Jesus teleported before he was glorified, and here's Philip doing it. You think of this, the signs of the apostles they had. And then we watch the church. The church then, even though they had that light for a season, darkness started trying to come around it and started overshadowing it. And then when they started accepting that darkness, those dogmas and creeds, the Easter Bunny instead of the resurrection, Santa Claus instead of Christ coming to save us from sinners from sin, when they started accepting that stuff and mixing it in with Christianity and all this formalism, the light began to fade away. It's like having a gas light and you got the light full bore. And I'll tell you what, there's enough Holy Ghost coming through that lamp. You can run it all the way full bore all the time. Never going to run out. Amen. But if the devil can trick you and say, oh, we don't need all that fire. Let's just turn it down a little bit. You'll never stop turning it until it'll puff out. It wasn't by the grace of God that in the dark ages the church didn't lose all truth. They should have lost it all because the Catholic Church ruled the world, and they still do. But they did it naturally then with a hand of iron grip, as the Bible said. It was a beast made of iron, and they went and stomped out anybody. You said, I'm not Catholic. I'm not bowing down to that wafer. They said, okay, there's the alliance. Here you go. And you got torn to pieces.
Sure.
And we think, God, I couldn't be a martyr. Well, maybe you weren't called to be one. But I tell you what, I would trade them places, I think. Because what, maybe one day's of pain and agony, and I'd be done, I'd go be with the Lord. But not here. We're here to overcome.
Amen.
We're here to show that Calvary worked.
Amen.
Not just to where we had to be martyred and we couldn't stand for years and years and years. No, the gospel has a lasting effect to where we can overcome no matter what's going on.
Amen.
As we watch the day the church was in, and you can look on the spheres. If you've ever looked at the church age book, there was a lot of light, and then it kept going down until it was almost all gone. And God, in his mercy, began to send us messengers who said, no, this ain't the way the church is supposed to be. This is a lie. You're not here to pay for your sins. Your sins have already been forgiven by faith. Believe it. You know, we think, oh, that's good. Not to them. That meant their paycheck went out the window.
Right.
Because that's how they were getting paid. People came in and said, I need my sins forgiven. Here's $50. And they said, go ahead. Then it got so bad, they said, I don't want to kill this guy tomorrow. I'll give you $100 today. And they said, okay, you can do it. You'll be forgiven after you do it.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the condition the church got into. That church didn't start at Pentecost. It started with Christ. And look what happens the second you leave the Word. Look where Satan will take you. It doesn't take but one little inch, and boom, he'll push you all the way out there in some craziness.
Amen.
But God in his mercy sent us Martin Luther, who said, no, the just shall live by faith. And we need to always remember that. Everything we do in Christ is by faith. You believe what God has said, and you act accordingly.
Amen.
Say, God, you're supposed to be the day spring of my life. I feel like I'm still in dark Laodicea. This ain't right, but I'm going to confess your word. I am in a new day. I am not sick. I am not distressed. I am not sad. I feel great.
Amen.
I thank you that I'm living in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because you said you'd be there.
Amen.
That's where we live, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And then God sent us another messenger, John Wesley, to come by and say, look, yeah, that's good. We should live by faith. But that faith needs a little action to it. We can't be dibble-daddling these things in the world. You can't be smoking pipes and cussing and drinking and doing all this filth. That's our approach on Christ. He never said, you're saved by not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the message. The message was you're putting a reproach on what you say you believe. But look, after, especially toward even the end of John Wesley's life, they started forming it that way. This is how we're saved. We do this, this, and this, and this. That was one little instance. All Satan needed. And he took the Methodist church and made it into works. And then he started diluting the works to where all we got to do is, well, you pay your tithes, I guess you're saved. You put your name on our book, way to go. We got the most members. Woo! You're all saved now.
Yeah.
Look how easy Satan did that. One little turn. Boom. And there went the church in all its power. And then God sent a bunch of crazy nuts called the Pentecostals. Everybody all right? Everybody feeling good? I'll try to wrap up. You just gotta stay with me, all right? You know? I'll try not to preach 3 hours. Haven't yet. God sent the Pentecostals to show us that, look, our inheritance is more than just feeling good. It's more than even recognize we're saved from the sin and sickness. Yeah, that's good, but we are benefactors now. We have things that are given to us freely. Speaking in tongues is a free gift to God, to the church. We don't got to go earn these things. They're gifts. Speaking in tongues, interpretation, discernment of heart and spirit, to where you can know what a person's thinking. Again, not for any glorification of ourselves, but for that person's faith.
Amen.
That's what the Bible even said. If you just all speak in tongues like a bunch of crazy people, which is what happened to the Pentecostals. See how Satan took them off the word too, because all he said is, look, oh, you spoke in tongues, you got the Holy Ghost, you're sealed, you can do whatever you want now. And that's what they did. They got skirts up to here cut. They're just like anybody else now. And Brother Branham even said, if the Pentecostal church goes 100 years, it'll be worse off than the Catholics, and we're watching it be fulfilled right now. I remember I was on the way to Louisiana one time, and there was a church, and it had big old spires like this. I mean, it's huge. It's probably 20 feet tall. And I was like, man, what is that? And it said, United Pentecostal Church. Or what is UPC, right? United Pentecostal, right across the top. And I said, God have mercy, there it is. They got the same church now, except instead of eating their little wafers and doing their rituals are, we go crazy and speak in tongues. And I've even had churches where I've heard it's better if they don't have preaching.
Right.
It's a good service when they don't have preaching,
right?
Because everybody got in the spirit that time. And we all went crazy. And it was so good, we didn't even need preaching that day. You see how quick Satan can take you before you know it. You're not even living off the lifeline. The lifeline of the church is the word. And the preaching of the word is what God has sent to give us food. Brother Kent believes that anyways.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. But God promised these things to us. And as we watch, the church went to doomsday. God began to bring it back. There was always a group that stayed with the word the whole time. Even when everybody was falling away, there was a group that stayed with the word. And we're watching it happen in the message now.
Yes.
The message came. And we rejoiced. And God has sent us the truth, bringing us back to the world. Back to the word anyway. Sorry, away from the world. To kick out all that trash. To restore these things that were lost. And God promised it in Joel. He said, I will restore, saith the Lord. We shouldn't be surprised that this happened. He said, I will send Elijah the prophet.
Yes.
That's what he said in the word. And we watched it be fulfilled in this day. And what did they do again? And I say they because I hope we ain't part of that. Taking what the prophet said and twisting it and making it say this. And they're going to the same errors that they have in all the other ages. You know, as long as you just believe. That was Luther's day. That's 500-year message. You're even off. You remember the children of Israel? They had to eat off that manna every day, fresh. And if they tried to hold it one day, it was stinking rotten. What do you think it's like if they would have held it 500 years and then tried to eat it?
Sure.
That's what they do. What if it does when the message church is that all you gotta do is, you know, we got skirts and long hair. We're safe. We're gonna make it. You ain't no different than the Methodists were. That's a 200-year-old message. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be past that. And then the churches go, oh, somebody spoke in tongues. We're getting a little fanatical around here. And you go, I thought this was restored. I thought God was supposed to give us these things. They're supposed to be in the church. And Brother Brandon preached it all the way 65, but they go, oh, you know, yeah, that's kind of what it is, but, you know, you need to look at it this way. Let me add my little own personal revelation to that. No, we need to cast down all those reasonings, all those imaginations, all that filthiness. It is filthiness to say that we don't need gifts of the Spirit. It just irks me. I hate it. And I believe God does too, because what is it? Why do they do that? Because they want the preeminence in the people.
Right.
Ministers that get up, and they won't say they're the eighth messenger, but they're pretty much telling you that.
Wow.
That without me and my revelation and the way I'm saying these things, you ain't going to make it. No, and that don't mean nothing with me either. You're going to make it if you got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's why you're going to make it.
Right.
I could be a full-blown hypocrite up here. Just like Balaam was, prophesy the word, preach the word, and it's truth, and you can receive it, and you would make it, and I wouldn't. Because it ain't based on that.
That's right.
It ain't based on me preaching, it ain't based on you not preaching, it ain't based on our works, all this nonsense. It's based on whether you've had enough faith to let God come in and accept you into himself.
Amen.
That's when you're saved.
Amen.
And you can be saved and not know it, but when you've received the Holy Ghost, you've got the down payment that you are saved. And you have an evidence you're holding in your hand going, I'm saved. And I know it. And I will be there.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Trying to find a place to close here. And look at that. As we get preaching about the day of spring, look, the sun's coming out. Oh, that's just coincidence, brother. I don't think so. I think it's the dawn of a new day, even for the church. And every day needs to be that way.
Amen.
When we try to get into darkness again, because we're the ones that do it, we're the ones that walk away from the light. God don't want us to walk in darkness no more. We're children of the light.
Amen.
And when we walk away, God still comes around and says, come back to the light. And as long as you'll listen to that sweet little voice in your heart that always agrees with this word, did you hear what I said? That voice that always agrees with the word, and you know when it speaks. Because it always tells you to do them things you don't want to do. Just say, your old flesh, you need to die. So I'm going to listen to that voice.
Amen.
You start walking in that, you watch the joy start springing up. You watch your body start yielding to your confession. I had a headache this morning, church. I'm feeling pretty good right now. Maybe caught that. That's all right. I'll try to finish on this. It's the rising of the sun. This is a little lengthy, so please listen in here. The rising of the sun. It's a day of spring. It's the same message. It's another rising of the sun. One thing, the trinity of Satan, which was death, that had held man in captive all these years, but now the true trinity of God, being one, manifested in Christ, who was life, and had broke the seals and conquered the enemy, and rose up the one true and living God. So we even looked at when Christ rose from the dead, do you understand that he broke the seals then? When he went, he'd already breaking them. Well, the problem is the church didn't get the revelation anymore. It was sealed up. Not because God had not allowed it to be open. It's because people had brought their own interpretation so they couldn't receive what God was going to say. That's why when Brother Branham preached it, he wasn't opening the seals himself. Christ had already done it. All he was doing is giving it to the people now so we could walk in it. If you don't know what the seven seals are, I advise you to go read it up. God said that for a reason.
Amen.
Reading on, I am he that was dead, and I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell. God in one made man and dwelt among us and conquered every enemy. And it proved that the trinity of Satan was conquered and that the trinity of God was made known, because only God alone had power to bring life back again. He was the Emmanuel. God had been manifested in the human flesh. No wonder he could claim there. Matthew 27 chapter, all power in heaven and earth is given unto my hands, and I send you to be my witnesses to all the world. He had conquered both death, hell, and the grave. There's your devil's trinity. Death, hell, and the grave. Not only did he do that and come out triumph over all the power, with all the powers in heaven and earth, all that was in the Father, all that was the Holy Ghost, and all that there ever was in him. Now watch this. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Everything else is powerless.
Amen.
It's the same with us.
because if you're not trusting that you're in him and that's where you're getting the power, you will be powerless.
Yes.
He had conquered it. Now, and then not only that, he sent his words to his disciples, his believing, fear not, for I am him that was dead and is alive again forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell. I've already conquered it.
Amen.
And those keys were in his hand. And he said, I've got them.
That's not where they stayed, though. He gave them to Peter. Did you have the keys?
What was the keys to the kingdom? Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what brings us back into the heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
So if you recognize that you've received it, you have to say, wait, I'm in heavenly places.
Yes.
I'm not here no more. I'm not in Defiance, Ohio. I am in heavenly places. I'm part of the eternal day. The day spring has come into me and pushed me up into heavenly places. Don't fear anymore. Oh, I love this. For every foreordained, predestinated seed of God shall come to life when that light spreads across the earth of the glorious gospel. In every age, even this one, it'll bring forth the crop that God ordains it to do. He has raised from the dead. Oh, what wonderful thing that is. I am alive, or quickened. The word quickened in the Greek means, bring back from the dead. Like the seed that goes into earth, it has to die. Every bit of it. It has to rot. Every bit of the seed, every bit of the life that was in the seed has to come forth. He was quickened. And not only that, and I will send the same life. Now listen, the same life that quickened me, the power that brought me from the grave, I will send it upon you to quicken you, that where I am, there you will be also.
Amen.
Because you received the exact same spirit that was in him. It is now in you. You're living in the realm that he did. He come to redeem or to bring to life those predestinated seeds that God seen before the foundation of the world and put their names in the book of life. And here they are on earth without a hope. That's where we were. Look, even your name being there, you were without a hope because you needed somebody to redeem us. Lost my spot there. He came not only to be the blessing, but to share the blessing with every predestinated seed. Now, if the seed wasn't on the earth, it couldn't live. It had to be on the earth and also germatize. No matter how long it's been kept in darkness, it comes forth when the S-O-N shines upon it. So you look at life, and I was in darkness for so many years. Let's stand. We're going to have to close, I guess. Living in darkness, living in the things of the world, not having joy, not having peace, living in condemnation. And you say, how can I ever get out of this? He says, it doesn't matter how much darkness you were in, when the sunlight, when Christ comes and you recognize it is Christ that's standing amongst us, and when it is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ here with us. And if you can recognize that and then enter into it, you'll walk out a new person. If Christ was born, that's good news. But never a news. Never was there news like this news, that he who made the promise has confirmed the promise, that he is alive forevermore and has the keys of both death and hell in his hand. All the gloom was shook away. There was no more gloom to be seen. Where should we be living at? There's no more gloom to be seen. If you're living in gloom, you're living, I'm tired, I don't want to be here no more. Where are you at? You're backslidden. All the gloom was shaken away. There was no gloom to be seen, for the sun was upon the grave. There was no he will come or he may come. He had already come. The gospel, good news.
Amen.
How many times we make the gospel bad news? Good news. Notice, the very message of the gospel itself is to prove to the people that he is risen. Go tell my disciples I'm risen from the dead, and I'll meet with them and confirm to them. Let's bow our heads. Brother Andrew, that's a pretty good word. I believe the day spring's come. Something in my heart, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not raised up into that sphere like I know I ought to be. And if you're in that condition, as we bow our heads together, we're not here to condemn others, even to look around. It had nothing to do with that. This is between us and God as individuals. If you're in that condition, raise your hands to him and ask him, saying, Lord, I don't want to be like this no more. I want to live in that heavenly place like I'm supposed to, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And when Satan would come and try to bring me back down, I cast him away in the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We thank God for this word, church. We were in darkness. Even without the message of this hour, we didn't know what to believe. We didn't know which way to go. But God in His grace would not let us stay that way. He came by and showed us the truth. And He still keeps reiterating it to us over and over again that we're here to live in heavenly places. So raise our hands to Him in praise. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the word this morning. We pray that You would be that day spring in our hearts. Lord, that You would spurn us into a new day. Lord, we thank You so much for bringing the sunlight even out. But we need the S-O-N light in us to spring forth. Lord, let it bring forth fruit like it never has before. Let us walk in Christian victory everywhere we go. That when we see people, we would shine that light, Lord, to them. That, Lord, sicknesses would be healed. Lord, sinners would be saved, Lord, and the depressed would go on happy. Father, we thank You for speaking the word to us today. We just pray that this resurrection morning, Lord, when we celebrate this, Lord, would be an eternal resurrection in our hearts. That every day we'd walk higher and higher with You, Lord, in deeper depths of this word. Lord, help us to quit feeding on anything in the world, anything that's contrary to Your word. We pray, Lord, that we would just cast that aside from us. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, just to walk as real Christians. We commit ourselves to You, Lord. We're here to worship You and praise You. We thank You for the fellowship we've had with Your Spirit this morning. We pray that You just have Your way in our lives. As we get ready to sing, we ask it to be so. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want to sing 300. Now spiritually, we're in the new day, but how many is looking for that new day in the natural? We'll be walking on the streets of gold. No sin or sickness no more. Number 300. Just as